Hello. Wow. Whoever had me last really liked their mix weird. And I didn't check. Because we like to share our technical issues with the audience. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to do. Hello and welcome to Love Bite.
Welcome.
Unless you're like, what the fuck? You know. Little Miss Nancy's sick.
But I'm like the little choo-choo that could. Because I'm here. So I'm going to try my hardest to speak as like strongly as I can. But life sucks right now when it comes to my immune system.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's craptastic. I apologize for that. For you. Let's get this mix right. Let's see how's that. Oh, that's so much better. I hate it when like I hear in my head like me so loud. It's a little upsetting. So our topic today, which since it was announced, I got a lot of compliments for the topic. Like, wow, you picked such great topics. But it wasn't me. Nancy chose this topic, and it is long distance and online DS relationships. And it's a totally poignant, very valid, and really prevalent thing. And when, you know, she said it, I was like, yeah, but I, and me, and I, because I don't, I like to talk about things that we know a lot about.
Or that we do hands-on.
And we do. And whether I, you know, do or it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of a novice.
Well, I got to tell you why that came to mind. And I think maybe the reason that, like, you have that kind of feeling about it is because we both got, like, our, like, in real life start very differently.
Okay, right.
And mine was online. Mm. And so for me, like, you know, I think about, you know, starting in real life relationships. And when I think about, especially when it comes to kink, I think online because that's where it happened for me.
And okay, so maybe it's like old school and new school kind of thing because, sorry, I'm taking off my earrings because earrings and headphones don't work. So
oh,
now
I thought
I'm
you were taking off earrings because you were about to like move some furniture and like kick someone's ass or something.
Yeah, I have more plastic wrap. I'm totally going to wrap you up for the show. No, I don't have that shit.
Oh my
what
God,
the fuck?
I can't do a sauna
have
right now.
Shit right now. Anyway, I think that's boils down to kind of like old school, new school, you know, because when I started in this world, there really wasn't an internet.
Shut up. Oh my God. Why do you make yourself sound so much older than what you really
are? Back before there was electricity.
What the fuck ever?
Hey, no, I can still technically pre-cougar. I'm pre-cougaring.
Exactly. So if you're pre-cougaring, then why are you talking all this shit about your age?
Bye-bye. That's my point. So yes, I can see how you would see it. It would come to you as that seems very logical. It's a logical progression.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, in when you brought up the topic, I was like, I really need to think about this. I need to, like, ask around. I need to feel through it and think, am I going to jump on the... That's not a real relationship. Am I going to go there? Which is kind of where I, you know, originally was thinking of going because that's where, you know, my gut reaction, where my, you know, my knee hitch reaction was. And that's not fair.
No.
It's not fair. And it's an easy answer. It really is. It's easy for me to just dismiss it and say it can't possibly be real.
And the thing is that, so there's that answer. And then there's a more complicated answer of how do these people make it work?
Yeah.
How in the fuck do they do this thing where they have this awesome relationship yet they've never met?
Yeah.
Or they see each other rarely.
So for me, I approached it with, okay, I'm going to commit to this because I believe very strongly if it's something I want to learn or something I want to do, I can do it. I believe that absolutely. I have full capability. And if it's something that's philosophically based, I can fucking get it. I know I can. I just need to be able to wrap my head around it. And I really need to find people that can guide me through that properly. So I reached out and there were some people on the Twitter that, you know, were kind enough to answer my very direct, you know, questions of like, what is this? What do you get? Why? I don't understand. Please help me. And they were very honest and very open. And it was really nice, number one, to have people like that, which although it's not a DS relationship that I have with any of these people, there are several people on the social media world that we've never met in person that we would feel close to. You know, there's one, Firefly Sub was one of the ones, and she completely and totally opened up and was very honest, even though she lives in LA.
Right.
And when she comes back, by the way, we're fucking on like Donkey Kong. It's going to fucking happen. So yeah. but you know, and then there are other people that are even in the UK and in Australia and on the East Coast and wherever that are, you know, that we talk to on a fairly frequent basis, and we still feel like, okay, well, we have at least a friendship.
Yeah, there's definitely a rapport.
Right.
And it doesn't even take much to establish it. It's just, you know, common interest.
Right.
You know, one witty remark to, you know, two or three, and then all of a sudden you're Insta friends. Or like you have an instant crush. Like, what? I'm going to admit it. I totally have a straight girl crush on Men in Chains.
Oh, do you?
I'm just going to go ahead and out myself like that.
All right.
I'm not sounding my sexiest right now. I swear to God, I sound sexier when I'm not sick.
I sound sexier when I'm sick. Does that sound, or like Barry White, one or the other. I'm not sure which.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, no. I mean, and so the funny thing is that we can parsec things out and decide that, oh, well, those friendships are legitimate friendships, even though you've never met them. But somehow these online relationships aren't legitimate in any way, shape, or form. Now, for me, I would have difficulty having an online relationship with someone I've never met or was never going to meet, because most of everything that I do is about my energy. And my energy, like, just flows through my eyes and my facial expressions and my random hand talking.
That's so awesome.
Right. And I don't, and I can't get energy back. I need to see it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's lacking. And because I do everything kind of very creatively, it is very dependent on the relationship and on the moment and on the energy and on what's going on, where, you know, I don't have anything that's particularly formulaic. I have a couple things, but mostly not many things that are terribly formulaic. So, you know, I would run out of things to do online. Like, yes, go edge for an hour and then come back. I don't know. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm bored now.
But you know what, though? I think that for instance, like our relationship, we see each other, fuck, I don't know, at least three times a week.
A lot?
Every day.
A lot. We need to finish the movie series, by the way.
We do.
I know. I've not started it. I almost did.
Aww.
But I said, no, Nancy and I were watching the Twilight Saga. Even though I hate them, I fucking hate them. And we turned it into a drinking game where every time I yelled at the TV screen, I had to drink. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, fucking lipstick! And then I would have to take a shot or whatever. No, it was a drink. It was a shot. I would be dead. But anyway, so carry on. We see each other a lot.
We see each other a lot. And I think that what relationships like you and ours, where we see each other, and relationships where people don't see each other, I think what they have in common that make them work is that people, you get to know each other. You become engrossed in the other person's life. You start to get to know the intricacies, the things that they don't like, how they spend their time, who's around them. And I think that, I get what you're saying about the energy, but I think that ultimately it comes down to how much you're willing to let someone in. So if it is something long distance, you know, if someone knows what your daily routine is, they know what time you go out in the morning to go pick up some freshly baked bread, and they know that you have this best friend that you've had since you were 7 years old, and all of these things, I think that eventually they build up this like base knowledge where they can have this awesome DS relationship with you.
You know, and one of the things that when I was wrapping my head around this that I thought about was that in this era of written communication, which is what social media is, and texting and kicking and IMing and all of that, it's written communication, albeit it's fast written communication. There is something about that particular medium that allows us as human beings to open ourselves up faster than we might in person.
Right.
You know, which is the reason why I have you journal, because sometimes you can be more honest. Often you can be more honest in a journal and writing than you can face to face, because you fear seeing something in my eyes, whatever it is.
Even journaling, I'm afraid.
Right, but it's easier to click send than it is to say it.
Absolutely.
And I get that. So I think that just in general, we as human beings tend to open ourselves up faster and more deeply in these types of mediums than we might face to face. Yes, you miss out on a lot of the physical interaction, whether it be sex, touch, you know, a look, physical play, if you're talking about, you know, kink. But on some level, you actually go a little bit deeper because, you know, you are opening yourself up. Now, my caveat to that is that it is your perspective of yourself and your perspective of your life, and it is not having outsiders' views of you. And if somebody doesn't have an accurate perspective of themselves, it's going to make a distorted relationship. Because they're trying to be as honest as they can about who and what they are. But if you don't know any of their friends and you don't see them through the eyes of other people, it's difficult for you to get a 360 of a person, even a 180. Because let's be honest, who has 360s of us, you know, except for people we're living with. And even them, you close the door. So from that perspective, I can see where kind of that online happens. And then, one of our followers who has an online DS relationship, what she had just said was that she is able to open up and to allow someone in that medium, and she never would in person. So it's that same thing. It's like your guard is down. So imagine if somebody were to use the two, both online and in person. Imagine how powerful that would be. They could do the twofer, because you can get that kind of intimacy as well as whatever, you know, you can get from the physical component as well. That would be fantastic. So, I mean, I get it. We all create, you know, these random friendships with people, and we do tend to just write and write and write and go on and on and on, and then are shocked at what we're telling people. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
I like seeing certain DS couples interact on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I like how they're so open about it. I mean, obviously Twitter's in this open forum. But like, for instance, Master Sweetums and Nerd Slut. Oh my God.
Okay.
They are like the cutest couple ever in existence. Holy shit. They're super adorable. And I think that, I don't know anything about what their relationship is like, what kind of relationship they have. But the fact that, you know, that portion of it is online and they allow others to see it, they, you know, they're mm-hmm. very public about it. You know, and then there, and us too, sometimes we've gotten compliments from people say they like following our back and forth because it's funny.
Well, yeah, but the funny thing is what they don't get is that we don't do a lot of our DS online. I mean, yeah. We on Twitter, you know, no. Occasionally, but generally we're, you know, in text or in person. That's yeah. what we do. But, you know, when it does happen, yes. I mean, if people actually saw our texts, that would be very enlightening and entertaining. Let's just put it that way. And sometimes it happens. But yes, being able to watch that and seeing how they interact. But again, those people, I believe, are, you know, married. So I would assume that they are in the same locale. I mean, I don't know.
I know, yeah.
It seems logical to me.
People probably think you and I live together.
You don't live with me?
Does our relationship qualify as long distance? Since you're way the fuck on the other side of town?
I don't think so, because we're in the same geographical area. Okay. And although with traffic, it might be considered long distance.
No kidding.
Yeah, so, you know, those are the kind of the overall, let's start with that. But how do they make it work? You know, I think that's what a lot of people have questions of, is how is it satisfying for either side?
I think it would be really hard for me to get past being super cautious, because anyone can represent themselves in any which way.
I'm a domly dom. Bow before me.
Go get a tattoo of my name on your neck, you lowly sub, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm sick. Don't pay attention to me. No, pay attention to me.
I'm just sitting back.
Don't do that. This is me talking herds.
I'm sorry.
Damn it, I had a point. Oh, I think it would be really hard for me to, like, you know, go from, okay, this person's cool, I can trust them. Because even, like, now, like, even with people that I meet in person, I'm like, fuck, I don't know who you are. I'm meeting you for the first time. This is so weird. Like, I have that, like, internal freak out. Don't give me the weird look.
It's surprising. It's my surprised look.
Oh.
That's my surprised look. Would you like that as my surprised look better?
No, that just looks weird.
Right? It was just my surprise. Like, it was surprised.
Yeah, no, there's this, like, internal freak out of, are you genuinely who you said you are? Or even, like, a huge portion of who you said you are? Or are you some, like, fucking, you know, serial killer? And I know that that's, like, such a leap to the horrible.
Are you talking about somebody that we know?
No.
Okay.
I'm just speaking in hypothetical
okay.
terms. Fuck, I don't feel good.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, that it would be really hard for me to, like, ignore, like, my gut feelings, you know?
I get that.
So I don't know, like, how do you let someone in like that? Like, someone you've never met and you don't know if you're ever going to meet them. I mean, that's for me, that would be very troubling.
I guess it depends on how much actual personal information that you give. Because if you still kind of stick with your online persona or whatever it is, then you can probably reveal a lot because there's a certain amount of protection you feel behind that. But I guess, you know, it's a matter of time and everybody's different. Everybody trusts in a different way. And I suppose it depends on what information you trust giving, because that's what it boils down to, is what information do you trust giving somebody? You know, it's all relative.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There are a handful of people who know my name.
That's true.
Like, really a handful of people.
That's true.
I keep that shit guarded.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
And, you know, some people find it really silly that I wouldn't just go ahead and use my name. Mm-hmm. But I think that
Well, nobody knows my name.
Nobody knows your
name. Nobody knows my name.
But I, you know, that's one of those things where, you know what, it might not be my checking account number. It may not be the passwords to my email addresses, but my name is like something that's mine. That's I mean, there could be someone else who has my name somewhere out there in the world, but it's something, it's more of an emotional thing. You know what I mean? Why are you giving me that look?
Because that's a different topic that we can psychoanalyze that later. Because that requires some psychoanalysis. But that's okay. It's okay. I love you. I do. I love you.
Don't do that shit. Where you're really trying to say you're fucking weird, but I love you. I love you even though you're crazy. I'm not crazy.
No, but you have trust issues.
Absolutely.
You have severe, that's where I'm not going there, because that's not what this is about.
No. And I think, and to get back on track, I think that's one of the components that you would definitely need in order to make an online relationship successful. You would need a fucking huge amount of trust.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, really. I mean, the amount of trust that's required, you can't physically verify anything. You know, it has to happen. You know, and if you tell a submissive that they must be punished for whatever, or you tell a submissive that they must keep track of any of these misdeeds, et cetera, that's trust. I mean, you're trusting them to police themselves. And some people can't or won't do it. You know, it just depends. I mean, I imagine that if you can't or won't, you're going to get far less out of it than you might have. The truth of any relationship is it's only going to be as good as the amount of, you know, trust and energy that you put into it. And if you're not willing to do that, whether it be online, long distance, or in person, then you're depriving yourself and the other person of a genuine relationship, you know? And that could be said of any relationship on the planet.
Right.
So...
I think, you know, but establishing a healthy degree of trust is good for anybody. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick, if you want to chime in, I'm actually giving out the number. Please make it good. If you want to chime in, the number is 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. You know what? Let me just tell you all now, just put that into your cell phone. Just add it as the Love Bite or Skid Row Studios if you want, so that you can call anytime in the future, because we have a fantastic loyal listening base. So I'm just saying.
You can call at all times of the day and you know, when Nick picks up and there's another show on, you're like, what the fuck? Why isn't the Love Bite on?
In fact, I encourage you to do that. Just call and demand Love Bite 24/7 for Skid Row Studios.
Shakes fist at Mad Time Radio.
Rick rolled us. Look where they are now, bitch. Don't fucking Rick roll us. This is an old, old thing from, this is like a year old now. Yeah. Anyway, nobody
they're
needs to know
people.
This.
They're
good people. They're good people. Everybody here at Skid Row Studios is good.
Yes.
They are.
Especially
they are.
Jeremy. He's my favorite.
Well, Jeremy is everybody's favorite and he's going to have a party.
Yes.
And there should be alcohol. Should there be fisting?
And tits.
Fisting. Jeremy wants fisting.
He said, yeah, there should be fisting and there's going to be everything. Everything
are there going to be strippers?
There's going to be strippers.
Like yes!
Skid Row's company party.
Fuck, yes!
It's going to be everything ever.
We're going to have a Christmas party early.
Yeah, exactly.
I love you, Jeremy. Okay, sorry. Sidetrack there. I think part of the reason why I was a bit concerned about this topic is because I am a kind of in a brand new long distance DS relationship.
And let me just say that I think that, and that's why when I suggested this topic and you were like initially like, what? I was kind of surprised because I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. Did I miss something?
You're like, wait, she, it, but, and, you're, but, you're, and he, and you're,
hmm, how does, wait. Do you have some sort of fucking teleportation machine that you didn't tell me about? Because
yes, I do. Yes, I do. So he's in Boston. And, you know, we met on the Twitter. Go figure the Twitter. I think for me, before I get into that, for me, part of the reason that I was resistant is because I couldn't tell you if I'm doing a good or a bad job of this. It's one of those, you know, I'm not necessarily good at the long distance. I'm a lot better now because, you know, I get to, you know, I don't have to not have sex, which is good. Cause that's, I like that. Long distance relationships, some people, okay, so literally somebody tweeted me when I tweeted this and he goes, long distance relationships are great as long as you can fuck other people. And I was like, yes, yes. And I was like, it's like you look into my soul. I was like, yeah, and that's what I do. So, but because sex is merely a component, it doesn't necessarily define an entire relationship. And right, I think people confuse that. People assume that it defines a relationship. Oh, which by the way, we can't be there, but Threshold's Femme Fatale night, the part of the class beforehand, uh-huh, is going to be a panel on love, sex, and BDSM.
Oh my God.
My suggestion. But we can't be there because we've got something else that we can't discuss.
Oh. That would be awesome.
Right? Isn't that going to be a fucking amazing? Because that was one of the things that we talked today. We had a femdom tea today and we discussed love, sex, and BDSM and how they work together. And now I've totally gone off topic. All right. So what were we talking about? Do I need to say something?
We were talking about...
Am I done?
Yeah. We're talking about your online relationship.
See, I was kind of hoping to avoid all that.
I know when you're trying to avoid stuff. But that's cute.
It's long distance. It's not online. Because...
Well, hold on though. It kind of is though. Because you can't eliminate the fact that, number one, you met him on Twitter.
All right.
From time to time, there may be tweets back and forth.
Okay.
There are emails, right?
Rare. I mean, we text mostly, but yeah.
Okay. But you know, I'm just saying so that our listeners know that things like that, things like communicating on Twitter and email and
there's you know, there's emails, there's Twitter, there's texting, and there's phone calls. That's so far. And he's coming out here in 2 weeks.
Mail.
What?
And snail mail.
And snail mail. Yes. Oh. I send him snail mail. And he sends me a big box of toys. It was a suitcase of toys. And so, yeah, I mean, and for me, it's one of those, the way that it feels okay for us is we're kind of like in contact all the time. I mean, kind of like I'm in contact with you all the time. You know, I'm readily available. I'm reachable at most times, except for when I'm sleeping. Don't fuck with me when I'm sleeping. I really like my sleep.
Don't
fuck with me when I'm sleeping. Don't wake me up in the morning.
Don't. Not even if you're in bed with her, because she will fuck your shit.
Yeah, I'm a total bitch in the morning. Before coffee, it's like, I don't want to talk at all before coffee.
Ninja hugs. That's what it's, yeah.
And then I don't even have the energy to fight you off. Fine, fucking hug me. Can I get to my coffee now, please? Anyway, Yeah. So for us, it's kind of constant communication, and it's a lot of, I have sent him some tasks. I've started on the note cards, where note cards will randomly appear in his mailbox that give him a task to do.
Which I'm sure produces a lot of excitement for him.
Well, I haven't gotten to the point where there's the Pavlovian response. He hasn't quite affiliated the color yet with that because he's only gotten one card. So soon, hopefully, that will happen where it's like, oh my God, that color is in the mail. And it's a very distinct color and it's going to be very different from all. It's not white. It's not a number 10 envelope. It's, obviously it's a note card. And so for the things that I do is like, I will give tasks and ask, kind of probing questions and things of that nature. So that's kind of, the next level has to be, and then discuss kind of deep dark fantasies and that kind of thing, where some of them get kind of sick and really fucking twisted. But that's the way that I go. but I guess the next question is how is that going to translate for when he comes out here?
Well, and here's another question is how do you gauge how well a relationship is going if you haven't seen each other?
I don't know. Maybe I'll have more answers in 2 weeks. I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
I think you're doing a phenomenal job.
Well, you have to say that, but I appreciate it.
I don't have to say anything. I could say other bad, horrible, shaking finger things, but I think you're doing a phenomenal job.
You're so sweet.
He's lucky to have.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, totally.
Stop it with that.
We're allowed to say AP. I got approval from the AP that we're allowed to say that.
Well, stop fucking AP.
All right.
Because I'm sick doesn't mean that I can't stop the AP.
Mm-hmm. A couple of the things that, kind of other people in their online or long distance DS relationship do are rituals.
Yeah.
And something that you and I have been doing for a long time. We've discussed it.
Well, and I can imagine that for people who have a virtual relationship, something like a ritual is like 10 times more important.
Sure. Every morning when you wake up, because I don't text you when I wake up because I always wake up before you. Even when you're sleeping at my house and you're like, no, I'm going to get up early. And it's like, no, you're not.
I'm awake. I just like to stay in bed and lounge.
Fucking whatever. Anyway, so you do this, kisses your feet. Good morning, mistress. And then I do pet your head, good morning. And that's kind of how we start the morning, which gives us an opportunity for the two of us to be able to kind of, those are our roles. They're reaffirmed every morning. It's like they're reset. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the rituals. People can do a ritual like that in their whatever communication that they do. They can also, ensure that there's daily journaling and things like that. There's a lot of different options. But apparently we have a caller.
Apparently we do have a caller.
We have a caller. Wow, we have a caller with a cough. Are they sick like Nancy?
No. Swallowing issues from an operation.
Oh, this is he. This is Boston. Mm. We also call Beast.
I just launched the boat. The bitch of it is I was trying to hear what you were saying and my phone went dead and I couldn't hear a damn thing. So I missed all the stuff you were talking about when you were talking about me. So
you're totally going to have to listen back. No. So now you need to contribute.
I'm going to have to go back and listen.
No, I have a question. Because I know what kind of gratification I get by every single time that I see Mistress and like super just excited to see text messages and things like that. But like, can you describe how you feel when the phone rings?
Well, honestly, I spend so much time talking to her in different methods. I mean, probably the reality of it is, and I don't know that I'm supposed to say this, but we're in communication 5-6 hours a day.
Probably.
Realistically. And I find myself constantly looking at my phone to see if that text message came through and I didn't hear the beep. I'm on the edge of my seat from the worst time of the day for me is I get up at 6 o'clock on the East Coast and 6 to 9:30 in the morning. It's just like I'm in the darkness. I go about my business. I do my thing. She wakes up. She sends me a text. She says, good morning. And my reply is, it is now. Because now I've heard from her, my day can start, and I go about my thing.
It's true. By the way, all that happens before coffee for me, so I'm like, I can't even get excited about that. Just 1 minute, let me get some coffee.
Yeah, it's forgive me for not being completely attentive here because I just launched the boat and I'm trying it out for the first time for the year. So, but for me, it's everything. But I guess there's a lot more planned here. Part of my whole thing is that she's in my head. The conversations that we have, I've never had. Everybody has these little fantasies that they keep in their head. And I've only in my life been able to explore 50% of them with another dominatrix because I didn't want her to think I was some nutcase. And the other night, we're having this conversation, and she says, what would you think if I did this? And I'm like, oh, that's hot. So then that another step, and then it turned into something. And then before I know it, it's something incredibly dark and incredibly dangerous. And I do it in a heartbeat because I over the course of the last 9, 10, 12 weeks, I've built this incredible trust with this woman. But, I mean, I did something at the beginning of our relationship that no sane person would do anyway.
Can I? I'm totally going to tell
you.
Yeah,
tell him.
So he's had this fantasy about being financially dominated, like his whole life, I guess. So he gave me all of the tools to do it. I've got fucking everything. I've got all of his personal information. All of his personal information. And I could just destroy him pretty easily. It's kind of nice.
I wish you could see the sparkle in her eye. Not because she's going to do it, but because she's that excited about just the idea of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, but I'm so sure that this is going to work that I made her a deal. If I break your heart, crush me. Here's every tool you need. You know every client I have. You have the home number to my house. You've got my wife's cell phone number. You've got everything.
She and I are buds.
If I break your heart, crush me like a bug.
Easy peasy.
That's it. But,
yeah.
But most people aren't willing to put themselves out there that way. And until you are, great risk will get great reward.
I like that.
And if you're not willing to risk something great, then you're just mediocre.
That's very quotable. Well, thank you. Anything else you would like to contribute to our fantastic little discussion?
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, and maybe I shouldn't, but can a dominant and a submissive carry on a relationship that is more than a dominant and a submissive? Can a dominant and a submissive be boyfriend and girlfriend if things are right? But we've been wrestling with this, talking about this for 2 days now. Mm-hmm. What are you going to give up?
When am I going to give up?
The relationship changes. I do not submit to anybody. If five people in my whole life, I'm a control freak. I'm an absolute alpha. But I'm willing to give that all to you. Here, take it. It's yours.
Right.
But part of what makes you like me is the fact that you respect me that way.
Mm-hmm.
If I give up everything and I lay down like a floor mat, then you're going to lose respect for me. And then the whole relationship changes. Then if I say to you, well, I don't want you, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and I want you to change your life this way, then I put demands on you, and then the whole relationship changes.
Correct.
So how do you find that perfect balance between respecting somebody as your and using them as your submissive or your dominant?
I don't have the answer to that. I mean,
I know.
I told you that before. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know.
I don't have the answer to it.
I don't either.
Yeah, we don't have the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, this has done me a lot of good. Let me, I will get online now and find another DS subject.
Good luck. You have fun with McDomina. It was good. I'll play with your toys. Jesus. Thanks. Don't forget, I have your credit card number right now. So
yeah,
you might
I just gave it to her. She's got it all, guys.
You might want to rethink that.
Bye, ladies.
Bye. Thanks. You know, it's interesting because we had that discussion at the Femdom Tea today about you know, there's a fellow dominant of ours who's having kind of a problem. Not a problem, but her...
A situation.
Her submissive is starting to move more into kind of the boyfriend role. And she is lacking a submissive. And so she wants to ask him to do more submissive things. But it's a challenge because, you know, she doesn't she doesn't want to hurt his feelings, you know, all those things that come with a boyfriend, girlfriend. And it's like, yeah, that would suck. Like, how do you do that? And there were some very, very, very strong opinions in the room. Shocking from a room full of dominant females that there would be strong opinions. But anyway, that's totally off topic. We need to get back on topic. So quickly back to kind of the long distance and online DS thing. You know, some people do it because they can't, like I said, they can't necessarily go out into the world. They can't necessarily communicate with people, you know, face to face all the time for whatever reason. Maybe they're married. Maybe they live in a very remote area. You know, maybe they have a physical disability that makes it uncomfortable for them to go out. You never know. There's a multitude of reasons for why they would choose to prefer an online relationship than a real life relationship. But it doesn't, they still need to satisfy some kind of D or S, whichever side it is. And we have another caller.
Fantastic.
Hello, welcome to Love Bite.
Hey, ladies.
Hello, lady.
Hey, this is Diva Cowgirl off Twitter.
Hey, sweetness.
Well, hello.
What's up?
So I was listening to your caller, and I have a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship with my dominant.
Okay.
Ooh, do tell.
And it works really well, but we started as boyfriend and girlfriend and then went into dominant submissive. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but
it also might make a difference because of your roles, because you're a submissive and he's the dominant, and that happens to also fall in line with kind of societal roles. It's subtle. It's a very subtle difference, but it might impact it as well. I don't know.
Well, no, I think that's an excellent point. We tend to mostly keep it in the bedroom, although it's starting to spread out a little bit.
But she said spread.
But I think for me personally, I kind of crave that as a submissive. Like I want him to do that. I want him to have more control, even though we normally just keep it in the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a valid point. I mean, the interesting thing about all DS, and whether it's online or in real, you know, in person, it's, we want to evolve. I mean, as human beings in general, we want to evolve. And I don't know many people in the lifestyle that don't want to continually push and grow themselves and their relationship. So it makes sense that as you and your dominant are evolving in a relationship, that you would want to push it and have it grow further. You know, that's a very logical next step for you both, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's trickier than most because he is, I have an open marriage and he's not my husband.
Mm. Yeah, that would complicate it.
But it works for us very well because that is something I don't get at home.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if I said it in the beginning of the show or another time, but every relationship is different. And it's very difficult to find two relationships that are identical. And if you're lucky enough to strike some sort of a balance within whatever relationship you have, then, you know, that's fantastic. You know, if you can kind of meet all of those needs, be that with multiple people or with one person, that's great.
I think the main key, though, is communication. Just like you were mentioning your friend that's afraid, you know, that wants to have that conversation. It's just about having the conversation. You know, worst case scenario, you bring that up with your dominant or your submissive, and they're going to say, no, that's not for me, or, you know, I'm not okay with that. And then you have another conversation about where that goes. But it's all about communication. And most people in BDSM that I've met are intelligent. They're, you know, they're smart. They're certainly more than capable of having that. So really, that's all. 9 times out of 10, when I'm thinking about something I need or I want or a conversation I need to have, when I bring it up, he's been having the same thoughts.
That's I think that's healthy. I think that says that you're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, what can I say?
Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for the call.
No problem.
You have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
I think that one of the points that was made during the Femdom lunch was that the process of negotiation, it doesn't really end. You know, two people can enter into a relationship, whatever the nature of the relationship could be. It could be online, it could be long distance, it could be, you know, in person. And I'm really trying to avoid the term real life, because who am I to cast aspersions upon an online relationship and say it's not real life? So I'm trying to say in person. I'm being very considerate of the peoples. I'm a nice person. Anyway, so I think that we all enter into relationships with this concept of what it will be. The great thing about BDSM is that often that means that we discuss our goals and our desires and we all come to an agreement about that's what this is going to be. But we as human beings, we change and we grow and are and the more that we're exposed to things, the more that we may want something. And so we have to be able to be willing and open to constantly renegotiate the nature of any relationship at any time. You know, so for example, Diva Cowgirl, you know, in her drama, they started off as boyfriend and girlfriend, and then they converted to more of a kinky, you know, BDSM kind of relationship. You know, there was a point when that had to be negotiated in the communication process. You know, if it's one of those where our other friend or her relationship has to move from DS to more boyfriend girlfriend, that's a negotiation. It has to happen. It's you know, you can use the term communication if you want, but let's be honest, it's negotiating. You're negotiating a change in what is current, what is the status quo and some level of dissatisfaction. And I think it's a much healthier way to approach it than just general, you know, we need to talk. Okay. Because if it's a negotiation, then it's an understanding that, you know, compromise on both sides happens. And how does that work? And how can this ultimately result in a win-win, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. I won't get into work shit because then I'll have to say something like, you know, we all have synergy and I don't want to do that. Uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, you're not there anymore. I'm totally doing this by myself.
I'm here. It really hurts to talk.
I know, sweetie. I'm sorry. I know. You know, you can have contracts even in online and long distance, you know, DS relationships. I would suggest very strongly, I mean, I think that the contract is very different for online than it is in person. And then if you have an in-person relationship that converts to long distance for whatever reason, then it needs to alter as well. Because you have to take into consideration the reality of the situation in which you're living. And so it's one of those things where, okay, you know, it's no longer we can, you know, have whatever we're having every 7 days, or I could see you every Tuesday or whatever it is or isn't. You know, you have to negotiate to make that a little bit different. It creates a requirement to be quite a bit more creative, quite a bit more flexible. And in some way, you would have to be more strict, more rigid. In some ways, you have to be more spontaneous. I think it just depends on the nature of the relationship. Wow, I'd be the best politician on the motherfucking planet. Did you hear what I just said? I just said a lot of fucking nothing. A lot of bullshit. I just totally took up the airways with bullshit. Thank you! Don't vote Mitt. I said it. I'm sorry for all those conservatives out there. I might love you. So, am I making sense or am I rambling?
No. Okay. It made sense to me, but then again, I feel like I'm rambling in my head. So
fantastic, there's rambling in her head.
Please don't try to mind fuck me right now. I swear, I can't take it.
Totally, just I had a strap on in your ear going on there in my head.
Oh god, as long as it's not down my throat, I'm good.
That might make it feel better, because then you get like that throat phlegm, and maybe that'll coat your throat. I don't know. I got throat phlegm the other day when I was brushing my teeth. It made me totally think of Julie and Subgirl, because we had that conversation around the fire. Anyway, yeah, we're strange people.
So let's say you've established a relationship online and okay, it's going great and it's a relationship. Then you want to change it to in person. Like, how do you deal with, I wonder how you deal with the fallout of it not being everything that you've built it up to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because,
it
kinda
scares me.
I think about, because I read a lot of erotica, and by the end of it, this is before I realized I needed to ask you for permission for that, okay?
It's like watching porn for you. Of course you need to ask permission.
But anyways, you know, I read it, and by the time I'm like 75% through it, that's if I get to 75%. Let's be honest.
It's like watching a whole porn all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've already created like this image in my mind. Like the words paint a picture for me, mm-hmm, and I'm in the place of whoever it is that's getting whatever it is that's happening. And it's great because it's exactly the way that I imagined it, because I'm the only person, real person, that's seeing it for what I think it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You have an online relationship. There's all these text messages, all these emails, all these everything. And you have, and you've seen pictures and so.
And you've probably Skyped.
Yeah, you've probably Skyped. and all of that. But none of that can really give you a sense of what the energy is going to be like.
I agree.
You know, it may give you an idea, but so then what happens when you meet this person and you realize, oh fuck, I invested how many weeks of my life into this relationship?
And an energy and emotion and genuine feelings.
And they are not at all anything what I imagined them to be.
Right.
Or there's some things that weren't what they said were, but that's okay. Maybe I'll have to compromise. You know what I'm saying? No one's ever going to be exactly the way you imagine them to be.
No, well, because again, it comes from your own perspective, you know?
I mean, great for those people who it turns out that it is exactly the way that they imagined it. I think true love, yay. What? Don't laugh at me.
Why do you think all the stories end with happily ever after? Because if you go to the next chapter, you'd be disappointed.
Well, yeah, but still. I'm just saying, that fallout must really fucking suck.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I imagine. I don't know. It sounds bad. I don't want this. Let's not do that. Let's avoid that one. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I've committed a certain amount of time with Boston, and now, you know, he's coming out in 2 weeks, and it's like, well, what if it sucks? And we've both committed all of this time and energy and whatever, and I have his life on a platter and it sucks. I don't know. I don't have an answer. But we have another caller. Hi, welcome to Love Bite.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, hon?
Not too bad. Do you want my 2 cents on it?
By all means.
Do you find that the connection is deeper right now? Because when you meet them, when you do finally meet them, it doubles. It becomes increasingly harder to keep it. DM and sub, honestly. I've had easier, really, in fact, all of the ones that I have that are online mean more to me than the ones that I go to the club and deal with in person. And I kind of like it that way. It's safer. It seems almost safer, believe it or not.
Do you mean physically safer or emotionally safer?
Emotionally safer. Isn't that odd? Because I know you said it takes a lot of trust to do this. It seems to me it takes more trust to do it in person. You know, it doesn't seem as safe to me to do this with somebody in person when you see them all the time, you know, and you have the 24/7 and you do all that all the time. Whereas for me, it's easier online. I'm weird. I know. Told you. But when you finally meet up with him, it's going to be intense, very intense, very intense, and almost very worth it, just to let you know.
Okay, so I'm quite frankly confused. So are you saying that if you start a relationship in person, it doesn't have the same level of intensity as one that you start online and then convert to in person or never become in person?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I was confused.
Absolutely
by
correct.
It sounded like you were like, and then you meet them and then it's not good, but then you were saying, and then it is good. So
No.
I don't understand what's going on.
There is a level of honesty that you get online because you have to, because of the trust, that you, it takes months to get in person, if that makes any sense. You know, when you're online with people and you're doing this, there is you have to be extremely honest. You have to, you know, it the communication has to be more so than if you're, you know, face to face with somebody. And you can, it's easier, I guess, to put up walls when you're face to face than it is online. You know, the walls can't exist because you're not face to face.
Yeah, I think that the fear, a lot of the fear is removed. I mean, and I spoke to that point a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it can create that kind of, that type of intimacy that absolutely can exist.
You know, I talk to mine daily, you know, just like you do.
Yeah.
We have interesting activity daily. So
excellent.
It's kind of taking care of my, gee, I don't have to sleep with anybody here. This is awesome.
Oh yeah, no, that's not me.
Like you, I'm digging that.
That's not me.
I'm digging that.
No, but here's the question. You said that once you meet them, then it becomes super intense.
Yes.
Do you then, you know, and you guys aren't in the same area? Are you still satisfied with the long distance, or is it just, is it painful?
It intensifies that.
Okay. Okay.
Because
and then you set up to see each other frequently?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, about every 2 months.
Okay. That makes sense.
About every 2 months. But every time it intensifies everything else. Because now you know the physical response that goes with what you're doing online. So it intensifies everything further. Because, you know, oh, okay, now he's making that sound. Ooh, I know that sound. Ooh, I know that sound.
I know that face.
Yeah.
I know that look.
Ooh, he just made that whimper. I know that whimper. Wow. So yeah, it intensifies it further, and it makes it even more fun to where you even play more games than I don't play with people that I know in real life. You know, there's more attachment, oddly enough. I mean, I guess because the communication is different, you know, I had to drop a sub because he wouldn't be honest. He wouldn't open up. And this was in real life. But yet I have more subs online that I have no problem with whatsoever. So, you know, and I know they're being honest. They send me pictures. That's a requirement. That helps. You know, take a picture of it. I want to see. You know?
So, very interesting take.
So it's not really as complicated as people make it out to be, and it really is beneficial, at least in my opinion.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for the call.
Bye.
Have a good one. Thanks.
You too. Bye.
You know, as much as you put into it, I suppose you can get out. It's one of those, you know, yeah, you can definitely get deeper and more intimate, especially if you are willing to really write and really, really share, you know, that would, and that's been my experience, you know, thus far. I'm certainly not an online dominatrix that shit doesn't work for me. But like creating kind of a relationship thing, I can do that. Like I've done it with you, but into person.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at the Nancy who is grabbing her throat in misery. Poor little thing. Poor little thing. That's what I have to say. I'm done. I have nothing else to say. Oh, tips. I guess we have a few more minutes. One of my fellow femdoms at the tea today, her pet has accepted a job that's going to require him to be gone for 3 to 4 weeks at a time and then only back for a week and kind of thing. So she's like, what the hell am I going to do? And for people like that, where you have an existing relationship and it's had to turn long distance for something, number one, you know, communication is key. Don't be afraid to Skype and use various forms of technology in order to stay in touch. And you can certainly, you know, Skype and, you know, mutually masturbate, or you can watch them edge or whatever, you know, hey, have fun. Having kind of rituals and discipline and ensuring that you're, you know, if you have tasks that you can see and have some sort of way to verify a task is done, unless you have the trust and you know it's going to be done. Those kinds of things, I think, are really important. But I think the biggest thing is to kind of try and figure out on a daily basis what to do and depend on who they are. Like, for example, Nancy is a task whore. I would say task master, but she's a task whore. She loves tasks. And she and I most recently had kind of, you know, a lot of shit's been going on in our lives for the past few months, and it's been one of those, okay, kind of DS went on hold for a while because of life. And so, you know, we decided we needed to really get it back in because neither of us were really happy with what was happening. We were both kind of fell into this, like, we're best friends and that's what we do. It's like an old lesbian couple. It was very boring. so we had a discussion. It's like, okay, then we need to, are you ready? Are you emotionally ready for, you know, for this to get going? And Nancy said, yes. So she likes tasks. So I need to give her tasks every day. Not today. Well, today her task was to stay home and get well. But it's one of those, you know, give her particular tasks to do so she can really knock them off her checklist. But
some, I like checklists.
She does. Some submissives like that. So take into consideration who and what they are and then assign the task or the assignment in relationship to that. I have some former subs who love to write. And it's like, okay, then I need you to write to ABC or whatever it is and give a specific assignment for that. And it's all, you know, don't assign them something that they can't do because that just sets them up for failure. You know, you don't want to do that. And challenge them, but don't set them up to fail.
Ever, yes.
I laughed when you make a mean sandwich.
Yes,
make a mean sandwich. I'll say that.
I forgot to ask you if you wanted it with the crust or without the crust, because I was totally ready to cut off the crust.
No, don't cut off the crust, because then it's like you can't really hold the sandwich as well. The crust really helps hold the sandwich.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's where I go with the crust. So now you also know how I think about my sandwiches. Anyway.
And you know, and like you said, there's a lot of different resources with the Skype and the stuff and the, but, you know, don't underestimate texting. FaceTime for all you iPhone users that have
FaceTime.
Wi-Fi.
Or, you know, Skype is on a multi-platform for your phone.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm a lover of snail mail.
I
love the U.S. Postal Service. If I could make love to the U.S. Postal Service, I would.
I was totally going to send you something, but I realized you don't check your mail anymore, so.
I do. I do go check it. Okay. Well, now I do. I have to.
Right. Well, then maybe you'll get something in your box.
Don't tease
maybe
me
you'll
like
get something
that.
In your box, baby.
Don't
I got something to put
that.
In your box.
Stop it. I need to go to sleep when I get home.
Yeah, I know you do. Yes. So, you know, I think that online and long distance, they don't, I don't think that they shouldn't be diminished in people's opinions. People shouldn't just pshaw them because they're assuming it's not the same. I think that everybody who's started having these experiences with social media, et cetera, are realizing that it can be equally as deep. But yeah, sometimes it can be a gateway to, you know, having something where it is in person. But it's if you can translate that level of honesty. I mean, I think that's where one of the challenges happens to really be, is whether you can. So, you know, feel free to hit us up if you have any further comments or things. We're running out of time. You can hit us up at, obviously, on the Twitter at @the_love_bite. I am at Insidious Muse. You can spell that, Insidious Muse. She is at Service Slut. That's easy. That's an easy one. You know, you can hit us up on the Facebook, which is the Love By page. You can comment if you would so like on the iTunes, which is always nice.
We would love that.
Subscribe, please, you know. And we always like to hear if people have a preference for a topic, you know. And I've gotten a lot of requests for topics, and some of them are really heady. So it requires a lot of thought, and I really need to kind of get my mind around some of them before I feel comfortable presenting. But yeah, I mean, if there's something that's really important to you and you think that it's something that we should attack or we should find someone to come on and discuss, that would be great. Personally, I would like to get Provillain's wife on to discuss polyamory.
Emily Pryor.
I would love that. That would be fantastic. So, you know, we don't know what the future holds because we're still kind of, you know, our heads are swimming from Kinkapalooza. That was some fun, fun shit.
say the very least.
Right. I really hope that this was educational, informative. I mean, I certainly became educated, which is always good. You know, I love any time I can learn something. So, but welcome. Thank you. And please keep listening because we love you all.
You're listening to SkidRowStudios.com. This is Keith Coogan. Tune into The Call Sheet Saturday nights, 8 to 9 p.m., and I promise to sound like I'm always on Quaaludes.